enterprise client marketing team. And I have my coworker, technical expert, technical product marketing manager, Thomas Willingham, joining me. Today, Thomas and I will give you an overview of our desktop virtualization solution and related technologies. We will start talking about what we are seeing in the market, the trends, the challenges, and then we will tell you about the different types of deployment models that we have on premises. We will compare them. We will tell you about the significant enhancements that we have done to our platform with Windows Server 2012 R2 in management capabilities, in user experience, in storage areas. And then we will tell you about remote desktop services in Azure IaaS, or infrastructure as a service. And then we will tell you about Azure Remote App. Thomas is going to do detailed demonstrations. Our goal with this session is to give you the breadth and the depth of our solution so you can see what we are providing, both on premises and in the cloud. With that, I would like to tell you about the challenges that we see in the market. I won't go into too much details because I think this was covered in the People-Centric IT Foundation session and yesterday at the Azure Remote App breakout session, we talked about the challenges that we see. We all know users are more mobile and more technically savvy. They want to access their resources from a variety of devices anywhere, anytime. Delivering applications, delivering corporate resources to these users is not an easy task. There are different ways to do it. You can deploy with native applications, or you can do it with desktop virtualization. The thing is, if you do not let our users access their corporate resources, as you know, they find workarounds. And when they find that those workarounds, it's not necessarily secure. So data is not necessarily protected. When we are trying to enable our users access their corporate resources, we want to make sure that our corporate resources are safe, secure, and we maintain data compliance. In the last few years, we have seen quite a bit of an increase in the desktop virtualization deployments because of the mobility trend. We have seen a lot of organizations using desktop virtualization technology to enable their users access centralized desktops and applications. I'm quite sure most of you are familiar with desktop virtualization, but to sum it up, it's pretty much you are accessing your corporate resources through a secure connection called Remote Desktop Protocol for us and Remote Desktop Services. So we are separating the hardware and the software. Rather than accessing the software running on my hardware, I access to a software that is running in the data center or in certain deployment models in the cloud. As the data and the desktops and the applications are centralized, they're never sent to and never stored on the devices. And this means that your data is secure. That's why it is a great solution in certain use case scenarios. Today, we have session-based desktops deployment model, remote app deployment model, personal and pooled virtual desktops deployment models in on-premises or in the data center. In the cloud, we provide Azure Remote App as of yesterday, and we have also RDS on Azure IaaS that we will talk in detail later. So why desktop virtualization is a great technology? We always say don't do it necessarily for cost reasons. It's really important to use this technology for the right use case scenarios within your organization. In certain use case scenarios, it may not be the right type of deployment because you may need offline access. But especially for call centers, financial institutions, or governments, when data security is really important, desktop virtualization is a great technology. You can enable your users access their corporate resources from anywhere, anytime. You don't have to have native applications for a variety of different platforms. You can deliver it with Microsoft Remote Desktop clients or Microsoft Remote Desktop apps available for a variety of different platforms. One of the reasons that customers tell us about desktop virtualization is the ease of management. A lot of organizations get into desktop virtualization because of management capabilities. Because you can centrally administer desktops, and it helps you reduce some time in terms of deploying application updates or patches. And finally, protection. As I mentioned earlier, it is a great way to centralize your resources in a data center or in the cloud, and you never restore any data or applications or resources on the device. So what are the different type of deployment models that we have on premises? I mentioned sessions, pooled virtual desktops, and personal virtual desktops. Again, I'm quite sure you're familiar with these deployment models, but let's compare them. The biggest difference, if we start between sessions and virtual desktop deployment models, is the type of copy, the operating system that you're accessing. With sessions, you're accessing a Windows Server session. Your users are sharing a Windows Server copy. The same thing for remote app. With remote app, the applications are running on a Windows Server session copy. With personal and pooled virtual desktops, or in other words, virtual desktop infrastructure, VDI, the users access a Windows client copy. So this helps with application compatibility. If we compare these different models in terms of personalization, personal virtual desktops is the winner. When I think about sessions, I liken it to commuting with a train or a bus. You're sharing your commute with other commuters in a train or a bus, so you cannot personalize your experience. Whereas with personal virtual desktops, I think about it as I'm a salesperson and my company gives me a car. Company assigns me a car, a one-to-one car, so I can personalize it. I can leave my bag in the trunk and I will find it when I come back. With the pooled virtual desktops, I liken it to a fleet of cars. Again, I'm a salesperson for a company, and they give me a car, but every single time I go to a customer visit, I get another car. And I don't personalize it, because I may get a different car next time. From a personalization standpoint, having a personal virtual desktop assigned to a user is very similar to for a user to have their PC on their desk. You're just moving it to the data center. In terms of application compatibility, again, pooled virtual desktops and personal virtual desktops are the winners because they're running a Windows client copy and your applications are going to be compatible. Windows Server operating system is also compatible with more than 90% of the applications you have. But we understand if you have one application that's not compatible, that may break down the model, so that may not be the right use case scenario for you. In terms of cost effectiveness and also ease of management, sessions is definitely the winner. With the sessions, you don't have to worry about the licensing costs, and especially the client licensing costs, you don't have to worry about the storage costs. So sessions is definitely the most cost-effective model. And if you look in the type of deployment models for Microsoft, which ones are the most used, actually sessions is definitely the winner. Still, sessions and remote app are the most used deployment models on premises due to cost effectiveness and also ease of management. From a management perspective, again, sessions is the winner. Because managing personal virtual desktops is very similar to managing PCs, whereas sessions is easier as you are managing the session host. Management is a key component of our solution. We really focus on this because when we talk to customers, they tell us that's the number one reason they started to try desktop virtualization in the first place. With Windows Server 2012 R2, we made significant investment in the management capabilities. You can leverage your existing IT staff skills. Everything is managed through the server manager in the Windows Server console. You don't have to deploy additional software. You can use it. You can use the same console to deploy, to manage different type of deployment models. And we know that you are mixing and matching different deployment models. And that's the right way to go, because you have different type of use case scenarios within your organization. And the best way to go is really to mix and match these solutions so you can meet your customers' needs best. With that, I would like to invite Thomas Billingham to the stage. He will tell you about efficient management skills of the server console and also rich user experience, and he will demonstrate it.
Thanks, Demi. Okay, efficient management. So we've talked a little bit about why desktop virtualization, why we might want to do it. Let's talk a little bit about efficient management. One is streamlined management of virtual machines. With Windows Server 2012 R2 remote desktop services running on, we enable streamlined management of these virtual machines. We simplify the management of both pooled and personal desktops, enabling a very quick provisioning of these systems. Unified administration. In 2012, session shadowing was removed. Some of the underpinnings of the OS were changed, so how we did session virtualization needed to change a bit, so we were unable to get it into 2012. For 2012 R2, we brought it back. Session shadowing is important. We understand it's important, so we put it back in the operating system as soon as we could get it going. Remote desktop services installation wizard. So there's an automated deployment and configuration with a very easy wizard, very accessible, very easy to use. Deployment with automation. So setting up VDI deployments easily and quickly. I'm going to demonstrate walking through a wizard to set up your VDI infrastructure. And VDI either being session-based desktops or virtualized desktops using clients. The next bullet, using wizard-based setup deployments, and then creating virtual machines automatically with either unattended settings files or specifying settings. Unified administration that is intuitive to manage. So prior to 2012, with 2008 R2, when we initiated our VDI solution, you had to go to individual servers using individual tools to manage the solution. It was a little complex. With 2012, we introduced RDMS, Remote Desktop Management System. An esteemed colleague in the field, after he saw RDMS, said, hey, our system, our company actually tore it down, and we see that as a quintessential UI for using VDI. I won't say who it is, but he's sitting in the front row. The offers consistent, but offers consistent publishing with applications and desktops, and you can automate and manage at scale using Windows PowerShell. Streamline management of virtual machines for scalability. Avoiding patch storms. So patch storms, having all your systems get patched at the same time, tons of network bandwidth, all your systems going down, so basically queuing up when your patches are going to occur, when that's going to happen. Using master images, so creating a gold image specific for your environment, and then creating either pooled or personal virtual desktops from that gold image. You can have separate gold images for separate pooled or personal systems. And then accelerate system preparation, optimizing logins, and providing automatic rollbacks. So creating these turnkey environments that as you install your pooled or personal desktops, very easily, just rolls right out, easy to manage, easy to roll out. Fair share. One issue that you can encounter is one session gobbling up all the resources on that system. So when you're talking about remote desktop session host, you have a whole bunch of users sharing a common operating system, server, Windows Server. With Fair Share, what this does, if you have any runaway applications or any runaway sessions, it throttles them back. to ensure that one user session doesn't overwhelm the server and degrade the experience for everybody else, which creates a dynamic distribution of resources, again, across the sessions. Demos. This is actually the fun part here, where we start talking about demos. Okay, so my demo environment here, what I have here is a Windows Server 2012 R2 system. I do currently have a remote desktop session host or RDS installation on top of this. Let's really quick just kind of review what we're looking at in the environment here. And keep in mind, all this is running on a single system. So even though there's a lot of moving components, it's all on a single system in virtual or in VMs. So if we look at our RDS installation, our remote desktop services installation, we see here our overview that it's not coming up yet. There we go, it's starting to populate. We see our deployment overview of this environment. So we have our session host, we have our connection broker, our web access, our virtualization host. We have a couple pools, pooled desktops. We have some personal desktops. And then here, it tells you what service role services are running on which server. So we talked about ease of deployment. Deploying is as simple as, well, let me do one thing here. So I already have this set up. I already have the services installed on this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect to another server that's running in a VM here. So I have my VM. So expanding the system or adding additional roles and services, add roles and features. So this is the wizard that I'm talking about for ease of deployment. Remote desktop services installation. From here, there's two types of deployments I can manage. I can either roll out a standard deployment. A standard deployment enables me to select which servers I'm putting which roles on. I want the connection broker to be on this specific server. I want licensing server to be on this specific server. So it enables you to pick and choose. Using this utility, I can manage all of those servers from a single system. So from a single management UI, I can reach out and touch those other servers. Quick start. This is a pretty cool option. This could be for a smaller shop or possibly for proof of concept. And what this enables me to do is on a single server, roll out all the roles that I want for my deployment. Just to show you really quick, quick start, boom. I can do a virtual machine-based desktop deployment. So this enables me to roll out either a pooled or personal virtual desktop environment or my session-based desktop deployment, which is running on a server. Click next. It asks me what server I want to install this on. It does the check here, and this is actually, okay, so this is actually going to barf. Why is this going to barf? It's going to not pass inspection because I just said I wanted to install virtualized desktops, but I'm already in a VM. You can't install Hyper-V in a VM. So this kind of failed. So let's go back here. Quick start. So if you wanted to run a quick start for a virtual environment, you'd run that on the main system. You wouldn't try to do it within a VM. You can't virtualize in a virtualized environment. So server selection, this will pass. At this point, it takes me to the confirmation screen. There's a domain issue now. Okay, so I'm not gonna be able to do this one either, but cancel. You see very quickly within that session, I'm very easily able to get that up and running. If I wanted to select which servers that I was running on, remote desktop services, next. So standard deployment. Standard deployment enables you to pick which servers you want to place these role services on. Next, this tells you which services are going to be installed. You're going to install a connection broker, what it does, your web access, and your session host services. So that's how straightforward it is, and that's what we're referring to when we're saying efficient management. For starting with 2012, we have this new interface, and it just makes it that much easier to roll out the system. So now we've talked a bit about installing our different environments, installing either virtual desktop infrastructure or installing your session-based desktops. Let's go in now and kind of review or evaluate this current structure. So at this point, I have a virtualization host installed with a pooled and personal desktops. I have a session host installed with some sessions. Here's my servers. I can review information about these servers. Here's my collections. So if I look at my session collection, and again, when you see session collection, you want to think Windows Server on the back end. When you see pooled or personal virtual desktops, then you can think clients. So sessions, here's where I can add or remove remote apps that are published. So I can very quickly publish a remote app. Remote apps. Remote apps are apps running on a server that are virtualized to the client. The difference between remote apps and App V actually packages the client, downloads a component of the client to, or of the application to the client, and then that's actually run on the client. With remote app, none of it is run on the client other than the client itself. This enables a true Windows application experience across alternate platforms. So now using iOS, so iPad, tablet or phone, Android tablet or phone, or Mac or Windows, I can access my Windows devices or Windows applications natively and run them on my local device, and it appears that they're Windows applications. So very quickly, I can check a couple applications to publish. Click Add. Ask me what to open for the executable. Let's remove that one. Next. So there's that one. I publish it. And publishing a remote app to your users is that easy. How do I get remote apps on that server? You need to go to the server and manually install them. Once you manually install them, you can then go in and add them on this menu system. So now I have a new application published here. How do I access these applications? So now that I've published these and associated them to users, how do I access them? You can access them using a web interface. Actually, let me step back here. That would be my web access server. My web access server is a server that runs IIS, that publishes these applications in a browser that users can then access. Okay, so these are the apps that I have available. And these are the apps that have been published to this user. I can click on any of these apps and they'll come up. Pretty straightforward. Connect. And here's the application. I can also connect to either a personal or pooled virtual desktop. Let's come back to that. So we've talked about session-based systems. We've talked about remote app. Now let's talk about a virtualized desktop environment. So your virtualized desktop environment, you can have either pooled virtual desktops or personal virtual desktops. As Demi mentioned, the difference between these is the persistence of the session for the user. So for a pooled virtual desktop, when the user logs in, the client experience is refreshed every time. Demi used transportation. We could also use, say, a hotel room. So for a pooled virtual desktop is much like a hotel room. You go in, and as long as you're using it, you can move furniture around, you can do what you want to do with it, but when you leave, they're going to reset it. So the next person who goes in and gets it will get the original experience. The pooled experience, or the personal experience, is more your own home. You go in, you can manage it the way you want to. When you leave and come back, it's exactly how you left it. For pooled desktops, adding a virtual desktop, again, wizard-based, very straightforward. So virtual desktops, how many do I want to add? It's currently one. Here's information for this desktop, confirmation, and then create. It's that straightforward. For a personal virtual desktop, again, add a virtual desktop, number, the allocation, review the information, create, boom, it'll create. Now, pooled virtual desktops, as Demi mentioned, are like that carpool that you go, you gain access to whichever car they give you that day. When you come back, give the keys back, the next day you might get another one. For personal virtual desktops, you get assigned a virtual desktop. So for this, you assign a virtual desktop. This one's been assigned to an administrator. Let's go ahead and assign this other one here. Browse. So now, when user Dylan Miller goes in, he will automatically be assigned this virtual desktop. So you see, management is, I keep saying easy. Easy isn't necessarily the right word. Maybe straightforward is a better word. Because you still have to understand how to navigate the wizards and what you need to do, but it's straightforward. You have this straightforward wizard to help you perform the actions you want to perform. So that is the current on-premise environment. That's what we have today. Session-based desktops. So desktops running on a Windows Server system. Pooled virtual desktops or personal virtual desktops. So systems running against clients. Some of the benefits and differences is with server, with session-based desktops, you get greater density. With virtual desktops, you get a true virtual desktop. There are just some applications at this point in time that don't run in a session-based environment very well. They need their own area to play in. They may write to different areas of the registry, a more common area of the registry, instead of a user-based area of the registry. So those settings may get lost. So that's our on-premise system. There are multiple storage options to use for the system. You can use direct attached storage, network attached storage, or clustered or SAN storage. SSDs are starting to become very, very popular for these types of systems. You can leverage tiered storage to optimize performance, basically putting the stuff you use most frequently closest to you or on the drives closest to you. And then disk deduplication. So instead of duplicating the same information over and over again, consolidating that information and linking to it. Rich user experience. So one of the issues with desktop virtualization is ensuring that your users have what we refer to as a client-like experience. We don't want them to have an experience like old-style TV, where things jitter, there's snow. That's not the point. The point is to ensure that your users have a consistent, reliable, desktop-like experience. How do we do that? We do it with RDP and remote FX. Adaptive graphics. So graphics that look at what's on the screen, is it text, is it pictures, is it video? And adapting appropriately. Reconnect features, so if the connection is lost, we enable reconnection. Serve desktop apps to RT tablet users and alternate OS users. As I mentioned, we have clients for iOS, Android, and Mac. Single sign-on. And then remote app programs that integrate into the desktop. Again, regardless of the client that you're using. Rich experience with remote FX, so remote FX over WAN. So for lossy or higher degradation lines, we handle that better. Dynamically detect network conditions and tune the experience for those conditions. GPU support, so supporting both physical and virtual GPUs. Virtual or USB redirection, enabling local USB devices, keyboards, mice, storage, to be used within the virtual session. And then remote desktop apps, so ensuring that alternate platforms have a Windows-like experience. Here's a slide about remote FX over LAN or WAN, ensuring that over corporate LANs, so higher speed LANs, that you have your hardware and software GPUs for a great graphic experience, rich multimedia, and the USB redirection. For internet or WAN, you have lossy detection, multi-touch, WAN acceleration for a better WAN experience, and again, single sign-on. Our adaptive graphics. Demi had to put this in. Sorry, Demi. With the balloon. I mean, like, we couldn't have found a happier thing here. And Demi's like, that was the news that day. She's like, it was either this or something even worse. So we get a balloon. We'll think of this as like a stunt, and everything was awesome. It was an air show, and it went really, really well. So with this web page, what we have is we have text, we have graphics, we have video. Remote FX looks at it and kind of breaks the page down and says, this is text, I'm gonna render that first, best. Here's image content. I'm going to progressively render that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then video animations. So each of these is handled by a bit of a different codec to ensure a desktop-like experience for the users, even though it's remote. So that remote FX rendering, if you remember browsing the web back in the day, initially you'd see a picture and it would progressively get better as your dial-up connection dialed that bitmap down. Similar type experience. I'm not going to say similar technology, but similar type experience where initially you'll start with a hazy or blocky image, and then it'll progressively render that image. User profile disk. So we've talked about allowing users to save data. So in pooled environments, like the hotel room, they can change stuff around, but things aren't saved. User profile disk enables, even though the client itself isn't saved, user data still is. So your Excel spreadsheets, any data that you're working on, that can be saved. But the environment itself isn't saved. So you can store user data and some of their settings on this device. And it enables you to simplify deployment of lower cost pooled and virtual desktops by lowering storage costs, because now your storage isn't held in the virtual desktop, it's held in your profile disk. Desktop virtualization models compared. So yesterday we had, for us, a pretty exciting announcement, Azure Remote App. We also have been working on a while Azure IaaS, so IaaS. So now we have effectively three different desktop virtualization systems that can be deployed. On-premise. For on-premise, you build your infrastructure. You manage the servers, you manage the hardware, you manage the software, you manage the infrastructure. It's deployed and managed with Server Manager, that tool that I showed you, Remote Desktop Management System. Azure IaaS. Now, you're managing the servers, but you're not managing the infrastructure. You create the images on-premise in VHDs, and then you upload them to Azure. What benefits does that have? That enables you to have minimal capital expenditure. If you've been in IT for any length of time, you've scoped out a project that took like 8 months to scope out for something that was really important. You figured out how much your hardware was going to cost. You figured out how much software you needed for it. 8 months later, you get this big iron in, you get to put it in your data center, and for the geekier people, it's a really happy day. You got new hardware, woo, it's great. And then 2 weeks later, they tell you the project was scrapped. So now you have this really expensive hardware sitting in your data center that you're not using. And now your users are putting pictures of dogs and cats on it. Not that I don't have a problem with dogs and cats, but is that the best use of expensive hardware? Probably not. What IaaS enables is the ability to create your servers on-premise in VHDs, set them up the way you want to, put them up in Azure, and let us manage the infrastructure for you. Most IT pros aren't in the data center business. Why should that be your focus? Focus on enabling users access to data and resources. Have that be your focus. It's customizable, but it does require deployment planning. A bit of capacity to ensure that you have the right configuration. Azure Remote App. Minimal upfront capital investment. Again, you don't have to buy hardware for it. And depending on deployment, it may not cost you anything up front. Very straightforward, high-level administration. So using the Azure Management Portal to manage the system. Built-in secure WAN access from any device. So you use a secure RDP channel from your client to Azure Remote App. A really nice thing about it is Azure dynamically scales and removes systems for you. You don't have to worry about it. RDS in IaaS. RDS in IaaS enables you to reduce costs by deploying desktops and applications on Azure Infrastructure Services. So enabling you to install remote desktop session host in the cloud. The capabilities. Enabling you to create an RDS deployment in Azure. Now you don't need infrastructure for it. You don't need to buy new servers. You just push it up to the cloud. Extend your basic deployment with remote app publishing. High availability, enabling scale out. So it's a very dynamic environment, again, that takes your focus off managing infrastructure and puts your focus back on enabling your users. So here's a graphic that kind of, at a very high level, demonstrates what RDS in IaaS or in Azure might look like. So you see here, we have our cloud here, we have Azure. This great-looking person here in a tie, some people think it looks like a penguin, is managing the system here. So what they've done is, this is a 3-VM environment. Each of these blue lines here, got a little click happy there. Each of these blue lines represents a single VM, a single virtual machine. So we have our file server, our Active Directory, licensing, and connection broker running in a single VM. Remote desktop session hosts running in a single VM, possibly remote app or session-based desktops. RD Web and RD Gateway, again, running in a single VM. You can have a VPN back to on-premise to enable connectivity back to your on-premise system. And then your users can use whichever clients they want to connect into this system. The steps, again, are really relatively straightforward. Create the networking environment. Create your virtual machines. So now you're creating your virtual machines in your system or in Azure. Configure DNS on the virtual network to ensure that everything, the names resolve appropriately. Deploy Active Directory, Directory Services, DNS, and File Share. Create and prepare your VMs for your RDS deployment. So for your RDSH server, for your gateway, for your web, for connection broker, for licensing. Run your server manager deployment wizard to deploy the servers on VHDs. Add licensing gateway and a desktop collection. Sysprep each of the machines, and then put them up into Azure. So let me turn it over back to Demi and have her start talking about the offering Brad just announced yesterday, Azure Remote App. Demi?
Thank you, Thomas. As Thomas mentioned, and as we had a breakout session yesterday, we have a brand new service on Azure. If you have attended our session yesterday, we gave a detailed deep dive to Azure Remote App. As I mentioned earlier, mobile workers, bring your own device trend is a key challenge. And cloud-based desktop virtualization models have been quite on the rise in the last few years, in the last 8 months, actually. Rather than trying to fit a deployment model to our customers, we went and talked to customers like you, partners like you, and we asked them, what do the users access primarily? And they told us they're accessing applications from a variety of different platforms, especially mobile platforms, tablet devices, phones. That was our mindset, and that was the reason that we designed Azure Remote App. Customers want to access their corporate applications, and we have remote desktop services capabilities that our engineering team has been working and improving for many years. So we said we are going to combine these together on Azure's trusted and reliable platform. So Azure Remote App is a brand new service. It is in preview right now. We have more than 1,000 people who signed up for it yesterday, so we're very excited, the demand and the excitement around this new service. It's delivering remote applications from the Azure cloud. I mentioned yesterday, your company's applications are actually run on a Windows Server copy in the Azure cloud. Your employees simply install their Microsoft Remote Desktop apps, which Thomas mentioned earlier, and he's going to demonstrate later, and they access their corporate applications from Windows, iOS, Mac OS X, or Android type of devices. We're also going to support Windows Phone and Windows RT. We are delivering this service from the same protocol, Microsoft's Remote Desktop protocol, and you're using Remote FX Media Streaming as well. As Thomas mentioned, the beauty of the service, the really core value of the service, comes from the scale aspect of it. You can scale, you don't have to worry about the capacity planning. When your needs change, when you have temporary workers, when you have vendors, when you have new employees integrating to your architecture during a merger or acquisition, you can scale up. When your business needs change, you can scale back down. When we were designing the service, we asked customers how they would like to deploy this. Some of them told us they would like to integrate this. They would like to bring their own session house to the cloud. Some others told us no. We just want to have a standalone cloud service. We don't want to have an integration with cloud. That's why we have two different types of deployment choices, hybrid deployment and cloud deployment. In hybrid deployment, you can bring your own session host. In the cloud deployment, you just deploy a standalone service. The choice is yours. Depending on your structure, depending on the organization's choice, you can select one of them, and you can go ahead and deploy. In terms of the features of the service, it is a free preview, so please go ahead and request an account if you'd like to try it for a proof of concept. And the server version that we are running for the service is Windows Server 2012 R2. Microsoft Office Professional Plus 2013 is already installed into the template image and the cloud deployment scenario, so you don't have to ask for licensing. You can bring your own applications. With the hybrid deployment scenario, you can bring your own session host and you can bring your own applications to the service. Currently with the cloud deployment, we don't have that feature, but that's something that we are going to fast follow. I already mentioned the device support. We also support Microsoft accounts, and we were talking to some analysts and some customers this morning, and they said this is actually really good. So I don't have to necessarily sign up to the service with the corporate credentials, but with the cloud deployment scenario, we are supporting Microsoft accounts. When I say Microsoft accounts, I mean live.com, outlook.com, or hotmail.com. Each user gets persistent 50 gigabytes of storage. And we made the service available for most of the Azure regions, US East, US West, Europe North, Europe West, Asia Pacific East, and Southeast regions. So we encourage you to try the service. We're really excited about the demand so far, and we would like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from your experience. We listened to you when we are designing this service, and we will keep listening to you when we are improving it. Thomas, would you like to give an overview of the different deployment choices and the infrastructure?
Okay, so in the Azure system, we actually have two deployments that can be enabled. We have cloud deployment and hybrid deployment. The main differences between these two deployments are cloud deployment is self-contained. You can install in about 5 clicks. So 5 clicks, you can initiate provisioning for this system. After you provision the system, all you need to do is publish apps, configure your users, send the link out to your users, have them install the clients, and they're up and running. If we look here, Azure Active Directory, this system can authenticate using a couple different methods. One, it can authenticate Microsoft Live IDs, Outlook, Hotmail, Live.com. It can authenticate Azure Active Directory. So if you already have an Azure Active Directory structure, we can authenticate against it. You can also DirSync back to on-premise. So now you can use applications from your environment in Azure. Users use whichever clients they want to access the remote apps, and then get a very consistent Windows experience between the clients. The other deployment option is the hybrid deployment model. This one, you bring your own image. So now you're creating on a VHD a remote desktop session host. You're installing the apps that you want your users to have applicate or have access to. Your own line of business apps, possibly web-based apps back to on-premise. After you get this configured, you sysprep the image and push it up. You additionally need to create a DirSync connection. This enables Azure Active Directory to use the users from your environment. You also set up a VPN. The VPN enables users that use the applications access to your environment. So people talk about the difference between some of the differences between Office 365 and Azure Remote App. What's the value proposition? How is it different? This is one of the differences right here. So using Azure Remote App hybrid deployment, I can have a user, and I'll demonstrate this, I'll have a user bring up Excel and then access an SQL server back on premise. So no data is held in the cloud, no data is held on the device. When the device is shut down, there's no proprietary data on that system. So let's take a look at what that looks like. This is the Azure portal. This is just straight Azure management portal. I have remote app provisioned, which is why it shows up in the system. I mentioned to create or provision a cloud deployment is 5 clicks. So new, app services, remote app, quick create, my remote app. These are the regions that we support, so you select a region. And then this is the template that comes with cloud deployment. When you click Create Remote App Service, it initiates provisioning. Let's go to an existing cloud deployment and see what it looks like. So the first page you get to is this quick start page. Notice there are two options here. Publish remote app programs and configure user access. This is all you need to do to get working. So publish remote app programs, I click here. When the image is uploaded, regardless if it's us that uploads the image for you or you that uploads the image for the hybrid deployment, multiple checks are performed. Does it have RDSH running? We perform a few other checks. One additional thing that we do is we look at the start menu. When you select remote app programs, these are the items on the start menu. I can select any of these that I want to publish them. Select PowerShell. That is now being published. If we come over here to remote app programs, you see these are being published. So this is my remote app program list. I can also publish using a path, C:\whatever. User access, so here are my users. This is a cloud deployment that I actually have dir synced back to on-premise, which is how I have accounts in here from my Active Directory structure. I also have a live ID here. Configure user access, it just populates, enables me to put in a user. And then the final step is sending the client URL to the user. I send this page to whichever client, it doesn't matter which. The client clicks on install client, and it will go to the appropriate client. So, I provision the service, I published applications, I added users, I sent the URL out, users can now start working. Let's take a look at the hybrid model. So the hybrid model, again, let's review here really quick. The hybrid model dir syncs back to my Active Directory structure, has a VPN back to my on-premise system, and clients access the applications and then can access on-premise. So let's look at how that looks. So the first thing you need to do is set up your virtual network. So this enables your clients or your Azure remote app collection to get back to your on-premise system. With this, you go through the configuration process, you set up the IP addresses. You get script. This downloads a script that enables you to configure your on-premise edge device. You get the key to manage secure communications. Then you add a local domain account that enables Azure, the system, to join, local domain join, this server back to on-premise. So now, using your on-premise management tools, you can manage the server. You link a remote app template image. This is where you take your VHD and upload it into the system. And then again, the straightforward steps of publishing programs and enabling user access. So I have Excel and Access published. I have some users provisioned. So let's take a look at what the client experience looks like. So this is the remote desktop client for iOS. Notice up top, we have remote desktops. This enables you to connect to a remote desktop from your RDS system. We have remote resources. This enables you to connect to your remote app and desktop connection web feed. Right underneath that is Microsoft Remote App. This is your Azure apps. So if we were to go back to, just to show how this is working, if we were to go back to the server and look at our remote programs, here's Excel, here's Access. We go back to the client. There's Access, there's Excel. If I open Excel, session is spun up. Excel is provided to the client. So let's go back to that scenario. Where I want to access data back on premise. So using this Excel spreadsheet, I'm actually accessing an SQL server that's back on premise. None of the data is held on this local device. So I can use this device all day long, disconnect. There's never been any data downloaded to this device. If the device is lost or compromised somehow, no one will have access to this data. I can use it as I use Excel. I can manage here what I want to manage. So just as I would use Excel, it's a native Windows experience. To manage the system, I can bring up a keyboard. I can bring up a Zoom It. It allows me to maneuver around and see in greater detail information. I can bring up a bar that shows me. So this is effectively my start menu. This shows me all the applications that are published to this device. The next one over is my task switcher. This shows me everything that's currently live that I can switch in between. Now, I only have two applications published, but if I load Access, now if I look in my task switcher, I have Access and I have my Excel database. I can disconnect and reconnect using another device and it will get the same consistent experience. Now, I know that you look at the iPad stuff and you're like, you know, in the scheme of things, that doesn't seem that sexy. But the idea isn't that it's sexy. The idea is it's enabling users. You didn't have to teach them anything else. All you did was send them a web link and say, install this client, add the remote app, use your email address that you already know, use your password that hopefully you already know, and now you have access to your applications. Again, the idea is enabling users to work with the applications they know as quickly as possible. Now, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit just because I kind of wanted to encapsulate the experience and go directly from Windows Azure to the client. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the clients, but I've actually already demoed this stuff for you. And we've already kind of talked about this in line. So easy access from iOS, Mac, Android. And you see from the screenshots, and these aren't Photoshop, these are actual live clients. You see from the screenshots, it's a very consistent experience across devices. Remote to personal and pooled VMs, remote to session-based desktops, remote app programs, Azure remote app, or user PCs. These clients have had over 4.2 million downloads overall. They have an overall score of 4.6. Again, not sexy, but it shows that users are able to effectively use these clients. It gets your users working the way they work and access to the applications they want to use. So again, I've already demoed the user experience. So resources, let's bring Demi back up.
Well, thank you, Thomas.
And have her wrap stuff up.
Absolutely. All right, so you can learn more about our desktop virtualization solution at our website. It's microsoft.com/msvdi. It's easy to remember. So you can see the depth and the breadth of our solutions. You can try it, you can evaluate it. You can see the licensing information as well. If you'd like to learn more about Azure Remote App, that content is on azure.com and also in microsoft.com/msvdi as well. And we strongly encourage you to try the service and provide us feedback. Regarding infrastructure services, RDS on Azure IaaS specifically, Thomas told you and showed you the infrastructure. There is also another session tomorrow from 5 p.m. to 6:15. Clark Nicholson and Santo from Dell is going to do a demonstration for this. I would strongly recommend that session. It's a deep dive architectural session for RDS on Azure IaaS. With that, we would like to open up for some questions. I think we have about 5 minutes left, if I'm not mistaken. But if you have any questions, we have microphones here.
Just a quick question about the printing experience. If they want to print back at their remote session, how does that printing part work?
Anything that you can print locally, you'll be able to print using Remote App or these other experiences. We leverage EasyPrint, so in the Windows environment, you can connect to any of your local type printers.
You said that 4.6 million of these clients have been downloaded already. Can they be downloaded to be used with RD Web Access servers that are in-house instead of coming from Azure?
Yes, yes they can. Using, let me go back here really quick. So this client here, if you look at the top, you'll see remote desktops. Right underneath that is remote resources. That remote resources will give you access to your current RD Web feeds. Any other questions? Great, thank you for attending the session. I think there's a scan code thing.
Yes, we take your evaluation quite seriously. And please go ahead, if you have time, please go ahead and evaluate this session. Thank you for attending today, and hope we have a great rest of the week.
Great, thank you.